Been a good week.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen. Glad to be here tonight. Amen. Yes. Glad what happened here last night. I better move that out of the way or there'll be a wreck. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn to Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter 78. I'm going to preach one of my burdens tonight. Amen. Every once in a while, a preacher just has to scratch an itch. Amen. And I'm an observer. I can't help it. I'm especially doing what I do. I can't help it. I'm an eyeball. I like to watch people's faces. Amen. I mean, I see how people react. And sometimes that influences the way I preach. Amen. And I watch folks, especially kids. I'm really interested in these kids. And I wonder tonight, before we even start, I wondered if really we had a real, just a heads bowed and eyes closed, and I asked these kids a real heartfelt question, I wonder what they'd really say. And that question would be this: do you think these folks here in this church and the folks sitting around you really do care about you? I mean, really. Not just responding for anybody else, but just honestly, if they knew, amen, whether or not y'all really, really care. Folks, we're living in the most dangerous time for a teenager to be alive that there ever has been. Amen. And I'm talking about Christian kids. Let alone, man, you don't even want me to get started on the other. I've gotten mad before because churches, they can't handle somebody like me coming in. So what do you mean? If I'd have gotten saved and got in that church right after, I mean, or got saved there at that church, they wouldn't have had me. They wouldn't have been able to do for me and disciple me. Let me explain myself. Folks, if you can't bring in somebody off the street and they get saved and then teach them how to live for God, the Bible's not wrong. Amen. God's method is right. But what you have to know then, something's wrong here. We was in a church not too long ago. I know this stuff's taped and it goes, it's hard telling where it goes, internet and all over the place. But we was in a church and a little young person got saved. I'll do it generically so they won't, because you wouldn't believe the stuff I get accused of, amen. Because I just preach and just don't care what I say, and then people get, man, he's talking about me. Exactly. But we had a little kid come in, 15 years old, on crack cocaine, crystal meth, punk. That's what she called herself, punk. That's what she wanted to be. Amen. She come in the meeting and got saved. And you know what those folks could not do? They could not disciple her. Say, why? It was a Christianity she could never get to.
Yeah.
Amen. I know that by experience. Say, what do you mean? Man, I remember getting saved and hearing some guys preach. Why? I'd never been able to attain to that. I remember when I got saved, I heard a preacher get up and preach, said, me and my wife, we never held hands before we were married. And I went, we never kissed, you know, before we were married. I never, you know, I've never watched an R-rated movie. I've never, you know, and I ain't turned the television on in 40 years. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, I might as well get up and leave. Amen. He built a Christianity I couldn't reach. Now, don't get me wrong. You take me out of context, I'll fist fight you. Because I'll preach against sin, buddy, just as hard as anybody will. But I'm telling you, when you build you up a pious Christianity, I'll tell you what will happen. The Holy Spirit of God will leave. He'll leave this place. You enjoy what you had last night? You enjoy feeling God move around? I mean, how about having that in your home? I'm not here to make anybody feel uncomfortable or anything, but since I was here the last time to now, there's major things that happened. Amen. What's going to happen between this year and next year? I mean, you don't know what's going on just sitting right here at home with some of these folks. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 78. I want to just rip. How do you use tact in the pulpit? I never have figured it out. I don't know if I want to. Psalm 78. The Speto. Yeah, you can change your accent. Take your Bible. You ever notice how some preachers, you know they don't talk like that at home. Honey, will you please fix me a cup of coffee? My darling, that meal was tremendous. Phenomenal. Or down south. Hey, well, honey, why don't you go outside and get me the paper? Amen. I'll talk like that at home. Amen. Use great swelling words. We was in a meeting. I wrote down five words that I did not know what they meant. This guy used. Has there been any words y'all didn't understand unless it was hillbilly language? Like runt. That's ruined. Runt. See? Amen. Psalm 78, verse number 1. The Bible says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. All right, what he's going to say here is law. Got that. Not just opinion. Not just preference. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, look at this, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for meeting with us this week. And God, this is what I feel like you put on my heart. And God, help me to preach it with all the fiber and being I have. And God, I pray you'll meet with us and bless these kids, folks here, Lord, even the older folks here that don't have any children, what an influence they are. And God, I pray you'll bless the preacher and his family. God, all these little ones and even the little babies that are here. Oh, God, what a responsibility we've got. And, Lord, I pray you'll bless this church. Make it a beacon, a lighthouse, God, in this community. Lord, there's other Mark McGahees out here in this town. Amen. Other Gary Pietz and other Brother Gerards right here under our nose. God, I pray you get a hold of their heart and send them here, God, and help them, Lord, to come like that gal that got saved Sunday, witnessed to a year ago, but came and got saved. And Lord, I pray you'll help us and meet with us and God, send revival here tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we've got to do is what we've heard and what we've learned and what we know and what God's done for us, we got to spread down to the next generation. Would you agree with that? Is that how you read that? Amen. As far as I'm concerned, at what I just read, that's not a preference. That's not an option. It's a law. Amen. I believe I can apply that to my life today. I don't know about you all. I want these little young'uns to know there was a preacher that came by here that believed in the old time way. Hey, that he's saved, loves God, and loves them. Amen. Man, I want to make a difference in these kids' lives. Do you? I go to some churches, I'm telling you, I preach mad about all week. You say, you get mad when you preach? Definitely. I'm half mad right now. Amen. Say, why? Just knowing that some of the kids in here, I don't know what the story is. I've kind of tried to make fun of y'all this week and say you're weird and all that, but I can just about put my finger on the problem. Say, what's that? Folks sitting in here, you don't know how to spread what you got down to them. Man, that's all they do is watch us. I wish I could bring my drawer full of letters I got at home. I got a whole drawer in my office desk of letters and stuff that kids have wrote me and sent me. Man, I got, you know, these little kids, they draw pictures and give to me. And they put on there, Dear Brother Mark, I love you. You're my favorite preacher. But don't tell my pastor. Said, do they draw stick figures of you? Yeah, but it's never a stick. It's always a circle. It's like Frosty the Snowman. Amen. And they draw them pictures and give them to me. And I've got kids that, I got a girl out in California. She's been writing me since she's 9 years old. She's graduating high school this year. She writes me several times a year. Every time I get home, or my wife will send, she says, Ashlyn's wrote you a letter. I said, give it to me. Man, to me, that's just as if somebody sent me a $1,000 check. Amen. And man, I get them letters and I always write them back. I think I owe her one right now. But I remember I got one, she's 15. She's 18 now. I went and preached revival out there and she wrote me a letter after I got back home. And she wrote me this letter and this is what she said. Dear Brother Mark, I guess you could tell when you were at my church that I had gotten cold. She said, Brother Mark, I'm not close to God like I was before. Said, I've quit praying. Said, it's made me be mad at my mom and daddy. Said, I'm not close to my preacher like I was before. She says, please pray for me, Brother Mark. I don't like the way it is. Man, I wrote a letter back and I said, young lady, as soon as you read this, the best way you know how, man, you crawl somewhere and get next to God. Tell him you love him. Amen. Start thanking him for what he's done for you. Tell him you're sorry. Amen. Ask him to cleanse you and wash you in the blood. And then you get up and go wake your mom and daddy up there in bed. Get them, turn the TV off, whatever you need to do. Get right with them. Go to church. Get right with your preacher. Amen. Yeah. And she done that. The last letter I got. Y'all to read them now. It's almost like a preacher's writing me. Oh, Brother Mark, you ought to see some of the things the Lord's showing me. Why, I'd ask her to pray for me more than some adults I know. The Lord showed me the Lord's so good to me. Amen. Man, sometimes I almost see tears on the little note she's written. And I just wonder around here. These kids, all they know of Christianity is what they see in this room right here. They see a couple of us skylark in every once in a while for a week, and we holler and yell and scream, and we leave and it's back to you. It's back to this old crowd. We got to take something and pass it on to the next generation. Amen. Those old timers did with us. I noticed something about the old preachers. Here's something I noticed. They attracted young men to them. A lot of them old guys, they were militant in their stand. I mean, some of them were so militant, man, women hated them. I seen Brother Jack Wood preach, women get up and walk out. I mean, he was rough. He'd get up and say, I'm going to preach tonight on 10 reasons why Billy Graham's lost. He was doing that 20 years ago. And man, he'd get up and he'd preach against stuff. Women, boy, they'd, you could hear him huff and all that. But man, them young men, they'd fall over to get up there and have him sign their Bible. I know some of them that packed up and went down there and lived to Houston, got underneath this church. You know where some of them are right now? I know one that's in Spain as a missionary. I know one that's in Germany right now as a missionary. Say, what'd they do? They got around somebody that knew God. Is that what these kids are going to have to do? Boy, it might not be your style here tonight, but boy, this is good preaching. Well, you going to have to send them off to school somewhere? You going to send them to some other church where they know God? Brother Mark, can I go with you? You wouldn't believe how many we've had ask that. Can I go with you? Just come in and preach a week and just be excited about the things of God. And kid wants to move out of his house and go with you. Well, how about if you folks get fired up? Well, you think you just get fired up because we're evangelists and we're supposed to be? Why don't you revive yourself? Yeah, man. You get a hold of God. Can you do that? Some things we need to take down in the next generation. Show them then. Number one, our great salvation. I'll do it till I'm, amen, till I ain't got no breath. I'll say it till I ain't got no more spit in my mouth. I've already bit my tongue. If I'm talking kind of funny, last night preaching hard, I bit my tongue back yonder. Man, I hate that. Amen. When you get old and feelings and stuff, you got sharp ass. I cut my tongue real bad, so I'm kind of talking like this tonight. Amen. And if I get going real good, I'll probably bite it again. Because it's all swelled up back here. But thank God, amen, if you're saved, I don't know how you can keep quiet about it. I mean, it is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I mean, you're just going to live as long as God lives. He saved you, washed you in his blood, rescued you. I don't understand. I don't understand how I can preach day in and day out to folks that won't even smile when you say that. I don't get it. Well, what do you think these kids think? Why, they're not the abnormal. They're normal. They're just watching you all. Amen. He said, well, we're not charismatic. Oh, no, you're the farthest thing from it. We're not Pentecostal. We don't believe in that shouting. Oh, I know. What do you believe in? Amen. I know you can't shout and stuff all the time, but man alive, every once in a while, something ought to get real.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, you going to let Brother Gerard do all the shouting? He will. That's what some of y'all do. You just watch him. It's just entertainment time. What if that was just the norm? Should it be? Kids nowadays, I don't know. I don't know what you do for them. We get them away at camp for a week, preach to them day in, day out for a whole week. And probably the reason why God meets with us so much is because we get them away from you.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. But I know some kids right now that probably argue with you if you said it wasn't. I know some right now that are pastoring. I've been preaching now for 25 years. This month will be 25 years. I've been going to youth camp for 25 years. First started, Dr. Ruckman and Sam Reed down there was the youth director at Bible Baptist. They asked me and my wife to go to Comfort, Texas with them to camp as counselors. I started in 1983, and I've been going ever since. It works. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about all that. I don't know about sending kids off for a week and all that. Well, just let them go the way they are then. Just don't give a flip about them then. Costs too much money. Sure does.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
They'll have to pay $90 for a week. Man, that's almost... These kids come to our camp in Alabama that bring $100 bills to the snack bar. They got more money than I do. Amen. And I know that's just one thing. I'm not trying to just promote a youth camp, but I'm telling you folks, if we don't show an interest in these kids, we'll lose them. Say, how do you know? I know them all over the place. I can see. I know which ones we've lost. Go up there to Brother Ryman's church where Brother Jesse goes. Man, we lost almost a whole generation there. How old are you, brother? 32?
I don't know.
Says how old is he?
33.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm not. But that, your generation from 32, 33, down to 25, that generation right there, I don't know how much you got out and knew other kids and stuff your age, grew up in church with, but how many of them ever made it? How many of them made it to where they got a family and they're actually in the ministry, tithing, supporting missions, worship God, have any kind of fellowship with Him? How many of those made it? Amen. This next generation, are y'all going to be the same way? You girls sitting here, how's it going to go with you? Do you even think this is right? Do you have any inclination that Bible you got on your lap is the true living Word of God? How many of you really know God is real? And He is a real friend. I'm telling you, it'd scare you to death if we got an honest answer in here tonight. I'm telling you, folks, you older folks, it'd scare you to death. Amen. Great salvation. Some of you guys, I'll pick on you guys. I'll pick on y'all. I weigh as much as both of you all do together. You guys, I don't know. I really don't. I've not talked to you, Mom and Dad. I don't know nothing about y'all. But your generation, you right here, you're going to have to be the ones to carry this baton. Amen. They're watching you. If you're not faithful in church, guess what? They're watching you. So you know what you got to do? You got to have some backbone, some guts.
That's right.
Your spine back there, it's not, it can't be made out of cartilage. It's got to be bone.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And these kids come, I'm telling you, got these little ones coming up. They're watching, buddy. They're watching everything you do and say. They can't help it. They've got to. Amen. We can't do everything we want to do. Sometimes I do the things I want to do, but I most of the time do the things I have to do. So what do you have to do? Man, as a Christian, And now I got kids watching me everywhere I go. Well, I can't quit. I can't get out. What if word gets out, and then when I'm home, I don't come to Sunday school? What if word gets out, I'm caught down somewhere in a store looking at a pornographic magazine? What if all of a sudden somebody sees me compromising, wearing jewelry? Man, I seen Brother McGahee, he had a necklace on. He had an earring in his ear. Could you imagine that? Why, that run through the, thank you. Why, that run through the gossip train so fast. Amen. So what, there's responsibility. What, do you think it ain't on you fellas? I'm just picking on y'all because you're such an easy target. Because you're sitting right here. Amen. And I can tell by the marks on y'all, you've come out of a life of sin. Amen. So now, y'all ought to be the ones shouting. It's up to you. You got to be the ones that step it up a notch. Amen. Is that good preaching?
Yes,
sir. Why? These kids, they've seen so much falsehood. They've seen so much. I'm telling you, we're at a danger point. That's why they listen to the music they listen to.
That's right.
In her room. No one cares about her. I watched tonight. And brother came in and walked over here and hugged this little fella. And amen, showed, gave attention to these little kids. You know why some of y'all don't give no attention to kids? You don't like kids. Well, I've read enough of the New Testament to know this. Suffer little children to come unto me. You offend one of these little ones, it'd be better if a millstone was hanged around your neck. I'll be honest with you, folks, there ain't nothing worse than a kid coming to church and there's a cantankerous old bird there in the church just watching everything they do. I wish these kids wouldn't run around the church. They need to get a handle on them kids. Somebody's got to be the detective around here. What are you looking at? Kids are running around playing, and they're running, they see you, and they go. Don't even like them. Man, they're our life.
Amen.
I'll tell you what else, our great salvation, the great scriptures. Amen. Man, that book has been my refuge. I've had to sleep with it before. Amen. I got Jesse with me, staying with me this week. But boy, there's been times one of the loneliest places you'll ever be is a long way from your family and everything. And that book, it rescued me. That book rescued me from life of sin. Old preacher said, "It's the book, man. It's the book." Oh, yeah, man. Better read it. You better study it. He said, "It'll straighten out the kinks in your head. Get you off your dope, man." Oh, yeah, dopey dope. Still like to get a buzz, do you? Is that monkey still got you? Got to twist you one up every now and then, little pocket rocket. You better get in your book.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that Bible, we're a people of a book. And if these fellas come in here and they can't, you all can't do anything for them, what are you going to have here? Tell you what you'll have. You'll have about four or five families. And all you'll do is just pound everybody to death. You'll make them just like you. Then before you know what happened? This one here is splitting up. This one here is leaving this one. This one over here is mad. This one, then next thing you know, I mean, you got to blame everybody else. Folks, I'm telling you, preacher already said it tonight, talking about having all your T's crossed and dotted. You'd be surprised who the Lord's interested in this service right here tonight. Amen. This whole meeting, fellas, might just center right around you. Amen. You too, right here. This whole meeting. This whole church. I don't know. Does that put the pressure on you? Could be. Amen. Oh, we got big boy back here. We'll get him too. Last year, man, I remember what happened last year. Amen. God, his countenance is different. Amen. But you notice how long it takes for other folks to see that? Don't you every once in a while just take what you feel and try to just jam it down somebody? Amen. I got four older brothers. I'm the youngest out of five. I'm the only one in church. I don't know what it'd be like to have a brother serving God in church with me. I don't know what that'd be like. I know this, though, like my big brother, there's some churches, if he came in here, there might be somewhere I wouldn't want him to sit. No, can't sit there, man. Why? He's watching everything. He's the only one that'll come hear me preach. We used to call him Herc the Jerk. He was 6'3". At one time, he had 21-inch biceps with a 34-inch waist. He was 26-3 as a heavyweight fighter. He was the president of a gang called the Loners in Alameda, California. Other than my dad, he's the toughest street fighter I've ever seen. I've seen him fight three guys before after they've stabbed him in the back with a knife and after they bust him over the head with a candle. Still, bad medicine. If you're going to fight him, don't hit him. Don't hurt him. Best thing to do is just take your whooping and play dead. Amen. I've seen him coming to church and I'd be preaching away and he'll say amen. And I've seen him in one church, he's looking around going, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, how's come y'all ain't amen in my little brother? I know how he thinks. Man, I got saved, got out of all that mess. Man, I remember I used to go with him right on the back of his old panhead. Remember we went to a place one time? I ain't going to tell all that. But just I wanted to follow that lifestyle. I had a group called the Derelicts. They was already looking for me a bike. Say, was they going to buy you one? No, they're going to steal me one. That's the way outlaw bikers do. That's the way the one percenters, they don't buy motorcycles. They steal them. Boy, is that close. God saved me. Amen. I got out of that lifestyle, got out. My oldest brother, he comes. He was up in Ohio. I preached at the church. After the service, he had a big black leather jacket on, big old beard. Looks like Grizzly Adams. Just, he's huge. D.D. Hall at Charity one day, she walks up to him and says, are you Brother Mark's brother? See, he looks at her and goes, yeah. Said, are you the one they call Herc the Jerk? I'm back here going. My brother looks over her and looks at me and he goes, yeah, I guess I am. He caught me after the service and he goes, come here, little brother. And I go, uh-oh, here we go. And I walked over there and he put his arms around me and grabbed me. And he towers over me and he kissed me on the cheek right there and he whispered in my ear, he goes, you're my hero. Boy, I can't tell y'all what that did for me. And I leaned up in his ear and I said, it's real, brother. God's real. I could feel him tremble. He goes, I know. I go, man, get in. Get in. He hugged me there and he goes, watching you, boy. He said, all the rest of our brothers said, they all act hard and everything. He says, but they're watching you too, son. I'm the youngest. Only one in church. Well, man, if that, how's your brothers watching you? How's your kids watching you? You ever had to apologize to your youngins? Are you beyond that? You ever had to get them to an altar and say, I'm sorry, boys. Sorry, girls. I ain't been right lately. But I want to get right. Will y'all forgive me? How about tonight, you know, husbands and wives, making sure everything's all right between them? Would it be all right to do that? So we make sure no other boy or girl has to go through living hell on this earth. It's because you got a little preference or you got a little habit that you couldn't take care of. You got so hard-headed you couldn't come to the altar and get it right with God. Amen. Next generation. Great scriptures. Why, there's folks sitting in here that's probably never read it through one time. How it goes with you and your Bible. Preacher's walking through the church one day, come in to get something, and he looks around the church and he sees people's Bibles laying there in the church, ain't nobody there. He goes, man alive, look at that. There's people leave their Bible here all week. And he says, I know what I'll do. He got a little pad, paper out, and pencil. Probably told this here last year, didn't I? No? He writes that in a little note. He goes, I sure missed you this week. I had a lot of things I wanted to show you. It was sure dark and cold in here. Church is kind of spooky when nobody's around in here. Signed it, your Bible. Slipped it in her Bible. What if your Bible tonight wrote you a note? Amen. Said, how's come you don't read me no more? I sure feel neglected. Amen. If this is Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church. Amen. How goes it with you in the Bible? How goes it with these kids? I've tried to press it each night, kind of the invitation, to have mamas and daddies and kids. And it's got to happen, folks. Either that or we're going to lose them. I just figure I'd do it again tonight. I just figure I'd make the whole message like this. So if you neglect it tonight, you stick out like a sore thumb. Grandmas, grandpas. I'm a grandpa now. Man, you talk about a responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Sis, I remember my grandma was, I was 8, 9 years old when my grandma died. I didn't know my grandma on my daddy's side. But on my mama's side, we used to go to her house. They lived in Kentucky. I still remember how her hair looked. I still remember what her hands looked like. She was way up there. Oh, there was normal people, but then there was Grandma. I remember what her dishes looked like. Had them metal cups. And she'd make iced tea or that cold water from the pump outside where she drew water. Man, that water come out of there ice cold, and how them metal cups used to sweat on the outside. Me and my brothers, we used to just sit around and watch her. She was something else. Do you know what an office you hold being a grandma? Do you know what a difference it had made in my life? Amen. Even sitting in a church. If I'd have sat here as a 15-year-old boy and have a grandma walk up to me, take my hand and say, come on, son, let's me and you go pray. Amen. Do you realize how much clout you carry? The next generation. Amen. How about the great Spirit of God? Let me ask you something. Are you filled with the Spirit? All independent Baptists, we kind of shy away from that. Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Yes. Filled with the Spirit of God. I met a young lady one day, a boy in the church, his little girlfriend, he introduced me to. He said, Brother Mark, let me introduce you to my girlfriend. And he introduced me to that gal, and I looked at her and I said, young lady, let me ask you a question. Can you get a hold of God? She looked at me and said, what kind of question is that? I looked at that boy. I went, this young man's a Christian. He's in church. Mom and daddy's in church. He needs a young lady that can get a hold of God. I said, because he ain't got hardly sense enough to come out of the rain. And I kind of shrugged it off, kind of joked it off. But I'll ask you, can you get a hold of God? How about getting a hold of God tonight for these youngins that are sitting here? My pastor stopped two young ladies in our church. I guess it's been 2 years ago now. And he stopped them girls. He says, girls, let me ask you a question. And the girl says, what is it, preacher? He goes, are you filled with the Spirit? Those girls looked, and they're good little gals, tender-hearted. And both of them put their head down. Started crying. No, preacher. He goes, you can be, girls. Boy, that made an impact on them girls. Their daddy's pastoring now. Last time I was at their church, they got up and sang, the both of them sitting there singing behind the pulpit, and the Spirit of God moved in there. And I sat there and I said, them gals are filled with the Spirit. That's so foreign to some of you all sitting here. You have no desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is what we take down to the next generation. Amen. Look in your Bible in the book of Jude. Here's a verse that troubled me when I first read it and stuff, but it don't trouble me no more. Book of Jude. Verse number 20. I'll wait till y'all get there. I like Jude. Well, I love to preach out of the book of Jude. Verse number 3, it says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. I like being a contender. I got a whole message on that. But look at verse number 20. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See that? Let me reason this with you. No one here has seen God at any time. Nobody has. All that you know of God, you know from that book and from the Spirit of God. Do you think God met with us last night? You know what that was? That was His Spirit. That was the Holy Ghost of God. If anybody here has ever had one contact with God, it's been through the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all are saved and know it? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and know it, let me try that again. Some of y'all wasn't listening. How many of y'all are saved and know it? Say amen.
Amen.
Here's what the kids did in here. It's exactly what I mean. I'm telling you, it's if there was an alarm, it'd be going. Ding, 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 ding. What's going to happen in 5 years? If you got saved, the reason you got saved is when you called upon His name, the Holy Ghost. You can't move or function or have anything to do with God without the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Holy Ghost, that means you're getting a hold of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's not halashalabamna, you know, time of ni salamanisan, salamahanda. That ain't it. That ain't it. God help us. Meet with us. Lord, help our family. Lord, touch these kids. God hears that. It's through the Holy Ghost. Why, we'd build a Christianity today without any power. Amen. Spirit of God. These kids, all they know of Christianity and what is they hear the preacher preach about. You boys, listen to me. You boys, you want to find out how to live for God? Find somebody that is. Hang around them. I'll guarantee you Brother Piet would not turn you down if you said, Pastor, could you show me how you study your Bible? Preacher, could I meet with you maybe once a week and we'd pray together? Amen. Could you show me how to go door knocking? You girls, you want to know how to live for God? Can you find somebody in here that is? Or would we really narrow down the group? Boy, I could tell this ain't the kind of message y'all wanted tonight. We wanted to hang from the sprinkler system tonight, didn't we? Amen. Great Spirit of God. And boy, last night preached about, amen, second coming. I don't know. I always heard when I first got saved, them old preachers preached, if you live like the Lord comes back today, it'll help you live right. He could come back any moment. Any moment. You ready? You ever done anything for Him? You ever led a soul to Christ? Got any victories? We used to arm wrestle all the time. We got into the arm wrestling tournaments and all that. When anybody find out, you know, you ever got into that stuff. And I was the reigning Pensacola champion. Guys would say, come on, Mark, you know, let's be in your arm wrestle. I'd say, no, win a few and come back. Just full you, your head's that big. Win a few and come back. Let me ask you this. Have you won any victories lately? I know one we need to win tonight. That's them little ones you got right there. My dad, he got saved, got all the way in. I was the only boy out of all of us boys that was dedicated in baby dedication day. But when I was about 3-4 years old, my dad got out of church. Got out. So I wasn't raised in church at all. And my dad was probably the meanest man I've ever known in my life. Because he was bitter, running from the call of God, and he was ornery. I remember one time a Methodist preacher come to our house, knocked at the door. My dad got up, and the guy stuck his hand out, and he grabbed it. He says, "I'm from the Methodist church." My dad grabbed it, and he goes, "Well, I work with my hands all day." And I remember my mom crying, saying, "Let him alone, Junior, let him loose. Get out of here." My dad going back and sit down. Well, me and my brothers, we went and hid. My dad just, I know what it looks like when somebody runs from God. I know the look. My mom and dad got back into church after I'd left home. And thank God they did, because they got in down there at Pensacola. My aunt and uncle was going to church down there. And I wound up down there and got saved. God called me to preach. Went to a little church called Zahn's Corner Christian Church. My brother, him and his wife went there about every, I don't know, month or so. My oldest brother came. My mom and dad was there. And here I was, the young one out of the family. God had called me to preach, and I was getting ready to preach to my family. And a little old country church, and I remember getting up and going to the altar before the service. Man, I knelt down there, and I said, "Oh, God, you're going to have to help me. Man, my family's here." And I felt somebody come down next to me. Put his arm around me. It was my daddy. It was the first time in my life my dad ever prayed for me. And I'll never forget what he prayed. He prayed this. He goes, "God, this is my boy." He said, "You saved him and you called him to preach. Do for him what you were going to do for me." I'll never forget that. And I watched that, and I'm the only one. And you know what my brothers use when I try to nail their feet to the floor? They take back things they seen Dad do. They seen things that was allowed to happen in our home. My one brother's an alcoholic. They say, "Well, Mom and Dad, they got in church. I remember when they was in church." You don't remember it, boy, because you was too little. But Mom and Dad, they quit going to church and they had beer in the house. I remember that. I said, "Yeah, but they got right with God about that now." I said, "Well, maybe I will too one day." Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what's these kids seen you do? Well, they see you. Well, they hear you say when you fight with your husband or fight with your wife, you start cussing each other. You kids, don't you repeat what you hear. We raising the next generation for God. That's part of my burden. I preached in juvenile homes. I preached in prisons and jails. I preached in one juvenile facility, had 200 girls. You talk about feeling an oppression. 200 girls incarcerated. Mean man alive. You know what girls say when they visit another church? They say, "Them girls in that church, they're stuck up. They won't even talk to us when we come there." Girls, I'm telling you, girls are mean. Y'all see some of the looks I get from here, from girls, just little old girls. Y'all see it, they're like this. They're mean, I'm telling you. Them girls, we was there one time, and girl come to me after the service. She come up, she's crying. She goes, "Preacher," she goes, "I wish you was my daddy." I said, "Why is that, honey?" She goes, "Because you'd have whipped me." My mom and daddy, they let me do anything I wanted to do. I talked to a girl the other night here, 14 years old. I said, "Girl, when's the last time you had a whooping?" She hemmed around. She goes, "I've never had a whipping." I told her, I said, "The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." I said, "You know what your mom and daddy did? They took that away from you, girl. So you know what you've got to do now? You've got to deal with the foolishness in your heart on your own." Amen. If your mom and daddy youngins, if your mom and daddy ain't whipping you like you should, they should, guess what? You're going to have to deal with the foolishness of your heart yourself. That's going to take some character, some guts. I told my buddy last night, I said, "Buddy, I said, you're going to have to step it up. You're going to have to be a man. Even as little as he is.
That's right, sir.
You have to watch out for your mama, boy."
Amen.
Shouldn't be that way.
Right.
But it is. Shouldn't be in the shape we're in. Girls, y'all can be back here on the back. No, y'all be sitting up here somewhere. Amen. You ought not be as cold as you are, some of you kids. Shouldn't be that way. We're guilty. We're sorry. I'll apologize for folks sitting here. We're sorry. We didn't mean it. We didn't mean it that way. We can do something about it. We can do something about it tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Come on, Jess. Invitation's open.
Part, folks, it's not the young people's fault. Oh, I know there's enough culpability on the young people's part. But you know, if mom and dads and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas really had it, I believe this is where the fault is. If it were real in the home, and I've preached this for years, if it were real in the home, these kids would have it.
Amen. Listen to them.
Well, they'd have more of it than they do. You say whatever you want. You carry the King James Bible, put your dresses on, put your ties on and all that. Act the part. Those kids know if it's real or not when you go home. And how dare we, how dare any of us think that these kids are not going to recognize hypocrisy when they see it? I know that young people, no matter what, can sometimes go astray. With all the best intentions and best efforts that we can muster up. But that Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I don't know what all that means. But bless God, if you're not doing your part, don't you dare point a finger at that kid. Find fault with them.
Yep.
It's a lot more to being a parent than just being their friend.
Yes.
They need more than that, folks. They need somebody that's going to care about them. Going to protect them. Protect them from this old wicked world.
That's right.
Love them and talk to them. Pray with them. Encourage them. More than just putting a roof over their head.
Bless God, I go to work every day. So what? So what? As far as parenting is concerned, that would be step one. Man, if you don't do that, you ought to be shot. Folks, you only got so much time, and you only get one shot at raising your kids. You can't, when they turn 20, you can't turn back the clock and say, Lord, let me do it again. I see all the mistakes I made now, and so now if you just make them a little baby again, I'll do it right this time. God showed us, folks. We got to care enough to do it now. Brother Mark has said, this is the next generation. This is Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church. And when the next generation grows up and takes the reins, I hope Solid Rock is still solid.
Yep.
I don't want to see it like limestone.
That's right.
And just crumble. Because it wasn't solid. You know as well as I do, when the Spirit of God starts moving, starts pricking your heart, all of a sudden you feel responsibility set in on you. And it's not just about, folks, it's not just about hitting an altar. It's not just about attending meetings and amen it.
That's right.
It's about putting it into action. Brother Mark's a good preacher.
Amen.
But he's not an entertainer.
That's right.
No matter what you think of him.